This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:04, time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. And by the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much. And baseball season is officially underway. The Cardinals on pace for 162-0.
Yeah.
They will be back at it today in Milwaukee. We'll have the pregame show for you, 215.
210 today.
210.
210 today.
On AM 1540, yeah. Every day game in 2012 on AM 1540. And it was funny yesterday watching the postgame comments from Mike Matheny. And what a different feel the Cardinals have this year with Matheny at the helm. But he's doing this postgame presser, and some player in the background, you can hear him, 162-0, baby! And that's the beauty of the first week of the baseball season. Because everyone, obviously, that's not going to happen. No one expects it to. But you've got these crazy things. Guys on pace for 160 homers, 300 RBIs, people hitting 750. It's just great the first week of the baseball season.
The one thing that I've seen different between the Cardinals of this year and last year as far as their approach to the game is they're not standing around for the home run. Now, they've hit a lot of home runs here early on, but I've seen more gappers, more balls put into the gaps, more balls put into play than I can remember.
Well, they've got a month's worth of stolen bases here in the first two games.
Yeah. Well, that's the big thing I see different in the Cardinal team this year and last year. They're going to run. They're not going to stand around on first base. You know, they're going to run. They're going to steal some bases. They're going to do the things that's exciting to watch if you're a fan up there in the stands.
And what I've enjoyed, and anyone who listens to the show on a semi-regular basis knows that we don't exactly have a great affinity for Tony La Russa and the way that he managed ball clubs. You know, the proof's in the pudding.
Yes.
Great manager, great baseball guy, all those things. But what I've liked is we haven't had a single visit to the mound, and we haven't had all the substitutions late in the ball game to where if somehow it does wind up close, you got a pitcher batting because you're out of position players. David Freese has played the whole way. Daniel Descalzo has played the whole way at second base. So that's what I like. And I've noticed, and I don't know if this has anything to do with Matheny or maybe the fact that the starters have just been rolling, but Yadi hasn't been making as many trips to the mound either as well. I mean, before the Cardinals, I mean, they had to lead the league in mound visits, whether it was Yadi or Dave Duncan. But so far through two games, I don't think they've had one.
Well,
and I like that.
And that's good, but I think the Cardinal pitching thus far has been ahead of the opposing hitters.
No doubt.
And that's not unusual for this time of year.
No.
Where you have one aspect of the team ahead of the other. Normally it's the other way around. It's usually the hitters that are ahead of the pitchers, but the Cardinal pitching staff seems to be, at least after the first two games, pretty dynamic.
Yeah, but today's going to be a major test.
Today's a great game.
See how Wainwright's going to hold
up
and what type of leash they're going to put on him.
And they're facing, I would say, one of the better pitchers in baseball, the Milwaukee starter today. He's pretty
good. When there's no pressure on, he's a dynamite starter.
Yeah.
And he's very good at home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which makes a great matchup with Wainwright and Greinke. So
but when you look at the makeup of this Cardinal ball club and then you move Cincinnati out of the equation, I put Cincinnati and the Cardinals up here and the rest of that division is not good.
Yeah, well, I would tend to agree with that it's probably gonna come down to the Reds and the Cardinals this year, so the Birds off to a good start. What I liked yesterday was Garcia, first two batters of the game, smoked the ball, and then he just settled down. So maybe that's a sign of maturation for Jaime Garcia, especially on the road where he has struggled throughout his career. But for him to calm down, weather the storm, and then the offense comes right back, gets him the lead, then he was off and rolling.
And there's the difference. The offense came right back. There were times in the past where you get down 2-0, you were down.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like you were down 8-0.
And isn't it nice?
You didn't really have much offense to lean on.
Isn't it nice to see Carlos Beltran and the Birds in the bat? That home run looks a lot better when he's hitting it for your team instead of hitting it off the Cardinal hurler.
Well, this guy's a good hitter.
Oh, yeah.
He's a solid hitter, and I can't think that he's going to do anything but good in a Redbird uniform, because he's a solid ball player. And talking about baseball, yesterday, history was made in Miami. They beat Mariano Rivera. He blew a save for the first time in 62 games against the Marlins.
That was Tampa.
Rays, I mean. Yeah. Rays, Tampa.
That's right, yeah. The world must be spinning the other way here. It is 2012. The end must be near. Mo blew a save. But all is right with the world, though, Uncle Ralph, because the Cubs lost in typical Cubs fashion on opening day. Only the Cubbies. Can get the guy thrown out at home for the second out on a ground ball right at the third baseman, and then take strike three right on the black to end the ball game. Only the Cubbies.
God, I wish that somebody or the whole team would kick in and make a donation so poor Jason Worth could get a haircut and a shave.
Yeah, that's the baseball look, though. You got to have that shaggy,
especially when
rough
you're
look.
Yeah, when you're making $150 million.
You can't afford a razor, Uncle Ralph. What do you want the man to do?
Yeah, I know.
Those razors are expensive.
That just drives me up the wall the way some of these ball players out there every day in the public's eye look like a bunch of bums.
That's a pretty old school thought right there, Uncle Ralph. I don't mind the long hair and the scruffy look. What I think when I see that is, don't you get hot?
Yeah.
You know, doesn't his face get hot? I mean, he's got a thick beard, that long hair. I mean, you know, you get in July, that's got to be miserable.
And speaking of Jason's, Jason Isringhausen made the Angels.
Yes.
Made the
good
cut
for him.
With the Angels, so good for Izzy.
Yes.
I saw him a couple times in spring training, and he was throwing extremely well.
And who would have thought, after he got hurt, what was it, 06 with the Cardinals, we had to miss the World Series run, that he would still be pitching in the big leagues 6 years later.
He kind of went underground for a little while. Yeah. And,
but he's the perfect example of a professional athlete. Do it until you don't want to do it anymore, or until somebody doesn't want you to do it anymore. Because, like, Tiki Barber in the NFL is a perfect example. He retired before he wanted to, and now he misses it. And now no one wants him back. So Izzy, he's doing it as long as he's got that fire in his belly. Because once you quit, that's that.
I guess
good luck to Jason for this season with the Angels.
I guess that's what Jamie Moyer's doing. Doing it because
pushing
he still 50. Likes it.
Well, Pettit.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And, you know, Pettit's going to be ready to pitch for the Yankees here very shortly. So, I mean, my gosh.
We have Lincolnwood Athletic Director Joshua Stone on the phone right now.
Okay. Josh, good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday.
Good morning, Terry.
And I know you've got a ball game with Carlinville coming up here in a few minutes, but coming up on the 24th of this month, with the game, a conference game, an MSM conference game against Morrisonville, you're going to have a bit of a special presentation before the ball game. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're going to do a charity game for the Ronald McDonald House. The Lincolnwood and Morrisonville have all been collecting can tops for most of the school year. And our former coach, Chris Paparoff, his wife spent some time there, and we wanted to do a benefit for them because they did wonderful work for their family. So it would be a nice gesture. And Bob Montgomery's also had some family that's had spent some time there. So we put the series together. We're going to play a game at our place and a game at their place, both benefiting the Ronald McDonald House.
So that'll be the 24th at Lincolnwood and the 26th at Morrisonville. And all the money collected will go to the Ronald McDonald House. And what sort of special pregame ceremonies will be going on? I guess some of the money from the concession stands will probably go into that as well?
We've got some different things going on. We'll give them all the can tops that we've collected. I've got about 17 gallons worth of can tops on the floor right now.
Oh, man.
We've got quite a bit, and we're selling T-shirts for the fans, and the players are also going to wear shirts. We've made money off of those, and we'll have a nice presentation with a check for them before the game.
That'll be terrific. We're going to be broadcasting that game that night, that afternoon, so looking forward to it. If folks want to get involved, Josh, can they volunteer to help out in some way?
Absolutely. If they want to come by the field that day and just volunteer their time, help out any way they can. We don't have all the details ironed out yet. It's a pretty hectic schedule the first couple weeks of the baseball season, so still trying to get that ironed out, but we'll have something for if they want to come by and volunteer. We'll have something for them, I'm sure.
And if they want to, I guess the most important thing is just to show up and bring a couple extra bucks with them.
Yeah, we'll have a donation jar there. If they want to donate some extra money to the Ronald McDonald House, and all proceeds will go to them, it would be appreciated.
That's terrific. That's terrific. So how are the Lancers off here in 2012? What kind of start are you off to?
A little bit of a slow start, 3-10, but we're getting better every day, so I can't complain too much. We've got a young team that only have two seniors and a good group of sophomores and juniors, but we're getting there.
I guess at the start of the year, you never thought you'd have 13 games under your belt here on the 7th of April.
No, this is our sixth game of the week, so we're we've gotten quite a few games in already.
Is it wearing on the arms a little bit, Josh?
Quite a bit.
Yeah,
quite a bit. We're pretty thin. We played Rochester yesterday. We had kind of had to dig in the cupboard a little bit and find somebody to throw some innings for us yesterday.
But when you look at it this way, I think it's probably better at the beginning of the season to have a lot of games because the last couple years. A lot of the teams get inundated with this type of schedule where you have to run, you know, play a lot of makeup games, conference games, the last week to 10 days of the season, and you're really weary going into the regionals.
Yes, it will be nice. We have looking at our schedule, we'll have a nice couple weeks where we don't have about one or two games a week, and really get a chance to get some practice in and work on some things, and really get ready for regionals and have the best team possible for this.
And that's one of the things early on in the season. Doesn't make any difference. A couple weeks of practice. You got to play some games. You got to find out what you have. And then you have to go back and retool a little bit.
Oh, yes. And we're actually retooling as we go. So,
okay, Josh.
Yes.
Thanks for calling in, my friend. Good luck to you today against the Cavaliers. And we look forward to the game on the 24th on AM 1540. And we look for a good turnout that night.
All right. Well, I do appreciate the time.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Stone, who is the head baseball coach at Lincoln Wood and the AD.
13 games.
13 games already.
How about that? Mm-hmm. And I would imagine when you're an AD.
I bet between Morrisonville and Lincoln, where they probably got 30 games nearly played already.
What a difference a year makes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in these ADs, you front load the schedule, you know, in March and April thinking, half of them at least are probably going to get rained out. We'll be lucky if we get to play five or six ball games, and then you get a beautiful spring like we've had, and next thing you know, you've played 13 games in the first week of April.
And the Lancers are having a special softball reunion this afternoon across the street at Kiwanis Field. The Lady Cavaliers taking on the Lancers in softball this morning, but this afternoon they're inviting all the former softball players back to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Lincolnwood High School and the 23rd season of girls softball. So there's a special ceremony about 1 o'clock. I get to be involved in that. And looking forward to see the former softball players at Lincolnwood. So.
Excellent. Our high school broadcast will begin next week on AM 1540. We will talk about that in just a moment. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back following these messages.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, housing lender.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Becoming cloudy for today. Expect highs in the upper 60s. Becoming partly cloudy for tonight. We'll have lows of around 45. Heading into Easter Sunday, sunny skies. Expect a high of around 68 degrees. Extended look at the forecast. Monday through Wednesday, clear skies. Expect highs in the upper 50s. Lows will be in the upper 30s. Right now at 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 55 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
Spring is here and it's time for warm weather clothes. And if your clothes are just a bit snug, it's time to start that diet sensibly with farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Prairie Farms dairy products are fresh, wholesome, and they taste great too. Try Prairie Farms Trim and Light cottage cheese and yogurt. Top it off with a tall, cool glass of Prairie Farms skim milk. You're on your way to a slimmer, healthier you. And for nutrition on the go, plastic pints of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
And at 9:19, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. And finally, beginning next week, we will have high school baseball and softball on the radio. And Terry, we are going to start with a doubleheader on Monday.
Well, there's no school on Monday, which allows us to sneak two games in.
Yes.
On Monday afternoon, as Hillsborough plays host to Carlinville at 1, and then Lincolnwood and Litchfield at 4:30 from Team and Plummer Field in Litchfield High School. So we'll have two games on AM 1540 and on the internet at WSMIRadio.com. So we're looking forward to that.
Two good places to watch a ball game from.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And last night, or yesterday afternoon, Litchfield and Hillsborough squared off with a baseball-softball pink game, cancer game. Money raised goes to the cancer Montgomery County Cancer Association, and Litchfield took two yesterday, winning the baseball game 9-6 and the softball game 8-1. So,
tell you what, Litchfield and Hillsborough, they really had some battles this year in all the sports.
Oh my God.
Their basketball games were outstanding, boys and girls.
Yeah. And every once in a while, you'll get a game where it's kind of a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not the case this year.
No, it was not.
I mean, everything's been contested, and makes our jobs a lot easier.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing like a WSMI, a close game between Litchfield and Hillsboro.
Yeah. Just, the crowds are nuts, and it's great. It's fun. We love it.
Yep.
Makes our jobs easier. Well, if we can call them jobs.
Yeah. In the loosest sense of the word.
We kind of show up and have some fun.
Right. Well, sometimes people ask me, how do you like working at WSMI? I always say, hey, beats working for a living. You know? True?
Yeah.
What do they say? Find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life?
That's true.
That's true.
A few other scores from yesterday in baseball, as we heard Josh Stone say, Rochester beat the Armory Lancers yesterday 13-1. East on Wood River over Southwestern 7-3. Vandalia beat Pena 4-0. In girls softball, Greenville 18, Carlinville 6, Southwestern 24, East on Wood River 1.
Mm.
Gillespie beat Bunker Hill 12-0, and Pena over Vandalia 4-2 in softball. And in soccer, Litchfield beat East Dauntwood River 3-1.
And we've seen some big run totals in both baseball and softball. That's at least the third or fourth 20 spot that I can think of being put up in the last couple of weeks.
And, you see them early on because you see them in stretches where you have a lot of games, and that could be a little bit of both here, where the pitching's not quite ready and you have a lot of games, maybe the arms are tired and that sort of
thing. And I would tend to think that would apply more for baseball.
Yes.
I mean, to score over 20 runs in a softball game, that's hard to do. I don't care who you're playing. That's impressive.
That's an awful lot on running on the base pass.
That's a
on,
lot.
On that six, those 60-foot bases, man.
Yeah. Woo. Getting the workout.
Yeah.
See, that's the theory, run them to death.
that's right. They got a plan.
But remember, you can't steal first. You got to get on base.
That's true, somehow, some way. Well, I know the other day, Alton Marquette had an impressive victory, but Alexis Silkwood, I think I saw it. She got like 130 some odd strikeouts in 57 innings pitched.
Yeah.
So she's on her way to breaking her own state strikeout record.
Yeah.
Impressive talent.
Yeah. That's.
I mean, we've been so lucky around this area. You just want to, you could really just say in the South Central Conference, the pitchers that they have had in that conference the last decade plus. I mean, you're talking about big-time D1 athletes here.
Well, yeah. You go back the last two or three decades in this area, from the very beginning of girls softball to this point, and you've had a lot of success in this area.
And, of course, when I say South Central, I include Gillespie
in
that because they're always – going to be a South.
You got to take a look at Bunker Hill. Bunker Hill.
Yeah, they had their run there.
Had their run there in a state championship. So, it's been very – Carrollton, of course, has done very, very well over the years. If you include, Nashville, Carlisle, yeah. They're always in the middle of things as well. So, yeah, great.
And you always
and
talk
of course, Marquette about, now with Silkwood.
Oh, man. You always talk about Route 16, draw the line, mm-hmm. hotbed for girls basketball. It's really the same for softball yeah. as well. I mean, girls sports in mid-Illinois alive and well and have been for quite some time here. I mean, impressive to think are always a team, whether it's basketball or softball, that's going into the Sweet 16 or further.
And, you look at the boys' basketball tournament, Woodlawn in 1A and Bree Central in 2A this right. year. Southern Illinois gets the smaller schools' championships this year. So,
could the times be a-changing?
Well, interesting, isn't it? Interesting. I'm glad. I was glad for Stan Eagleson at Bree Central. Stan's a great guy.
Well, they've had some great teams over the years.
Talked to him, it's been a few years, but what a terrific fellow. Yeah, he's had his shot. Now he finally has the championship. That was a good team.
And Breeze, they're one of those teams, the perfect case in point of just because you got a great team doesn't mean you're going to win the title. I mean, I don't follow Breeze Central that closely. I don't know if this would even be considered the best team they've had in the last 5 or 6 years because they've had some dandy clubs. But the best team does not always win like we always talk about, but it's just a matter of playing your best
right.
in that 3-week stretch.
And again, the draw is
everything.
A random thing with the way the high school association sets up the postseason tournament pairings. They've tried different things over the years, but they've gone back to what I like to call the neighborhood regionals, which tend to bring bigger crowds early on. And as the areas kind of funnel into a sectional or a super sectional site. So your draw has a lot to do with it.
And I think the baseball and softball seasons generally, from my perspective, go the fastest.
Oh, yeah.
With springtime, school getting out and all that. But regional sites already out
for
baseball
and
softball.
And a lot of sites close to home. I don't have my list with me here this morning, but let's see. I think Gillespie's got a boys baseball regional. Greenville has a regional in baseball. Morrisonville has a 1A regional in baseball. Hillsboro has a 2A softball regional. Lincolnwood has a 1A softball regional.
You didn't need a paper in front of you. Just rattle them all off from memory.
There's more than that, but I can't quite remember them all. So, yeah, the sites, and the problem with that was when they were doing the sectional complexes, they called them, you had coaches seating teams that they'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. And they were just basing it on strictly on records. And a lot of times you can't do that.
These coaches get so involved in their team.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have time to scout anyone that's not on your schedule.
No. I've said for years that they ought to involve members of the media. I mean, how many radio broadcasters and newspaper people cover these local teams and throughout the state? And maybe they need some input from the media folks. I mean, probably wouldn't hurt.
Couldn't hurt anything.
And if they come up – and they don't like our opinion, fine, just ignore it. But, at least ask.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, though. If you took a poll of, the media members around the state and then just, did an average.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the fairest way to do it.
Well, look how many games we see. Look how many games Dave Kane sees. Look how many games Steve Porter from the Alton mm-hmm. Telegraph sees. How many games do we see a year? We see plenty. We at least have an opinion.
Right. And you not only see games, but you in this business, you have the opportunity to talk to various coaches and get different opinions, about different teams.
Sure.
And guys, we're sitting here talking about baseball and softball in high school. And one of the things that impresses me in the last probably 10 years is how the different schools have built sports complexes. We've got some real good facilities around for softball and baseball.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Well, that's one of those things that you just every once in a while have to upgrade.
The
old things are just worn out and are not useful anymore, not safe, and you just have to upgrade. So,
and with those new fields comes better drainage mm-hmm. and all that, so you get less rainouts in a normal type of year. And I mean, you see that this year, lots of these teams have played a lot of ball games early on.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to go to help from parents that oftentimes pitch in the springtime. And if it's wet in the fields, the farmers can come to town and help work on the baseball field sometime. And that's not been a secret for for work at certainly at Lincolnwood and at Morrisonville and other places with the smaller schools. You know, you got people come into town and they'll work on the field and they'll get it ready to go.
I remember being a little kid, 8 or 9 years old, and we'd be out with my dad and, you know, my brothers and sisters and mom on the Quarry League field at Bunker Hill, you know, with the rakes making ditches with cups, you know, funneling water out of there, just doing whatever you can to try to get the field dry.
Sure.
And when you speak of 1A, Terry, and you're very familiar with it, Morrisonville has an outstanding baseball facility there. That's a good field.
Bob Montgomery and those guys have done an awful lot of work at that field.
Yes, they have.
And that's a very nice place. And their PMRA park is very nice as well for softball. That's a real nice facility.
Does Mulberry Grove still have the lime field?
Yes.
I did not like
There are a few fields that have the lime infield, the crushed limestone, turkey grit, I think is what they call it, the type infield, which absolutely allows you to play unless it's pouring down rain or lightning.
It's got its benefits.
It's got its benefits, but it tends to get a little crusty at times when it dries out. And you know, it's not the easiest thing to slide in. But it does allow you to get a lot of games in. So, you know, then you don't have to spend it on diamond dry.
Like a merry-go-round.
Exactly right.
You know, you talk about recycling. What a great job, you know, the people that make diamond dry. They take corn cobs and they chop them up.
Yeah.
Not bad, huh?
It's a great gig, you know.
Million-dollar invention right there.
There you go.
And some.
Yeah. So
coming up on Monday, we will have two ball games for you on AM 1540. As Terry mentioned a moment ago, no school on Monday, so we will have an early 1 o'clock start for you from Hillsboro. And then a 4:20 start for you from Litchfield. Both games streaming online at WSMIRadio.com.
And then Tuesday, Lincolnwood at Hillsboro softball. So it looks like good weather at the beginning next week. Looks like we'll get games in. And then, of course, we've got more Cardinal games next week as well. And just go to our website, WSMIRadio.com, and check on our broadcast schedule.
And you mentioned regionals a while ago, Terry. If this weather continues and the ball games continue to get played at the pace they are right now, come regional tournament time, there will be a few weary arms.
Well, I don't know. I think if the spring remains dry, a lot of the last 2 weeks of the schedule for a lot of teams light because they have rain dates built into those schedules.
That's true.
South Central, I know, has a couple of weeks where they have a Tuesday and Thursday set aside for rain dates. So that may, you know, if they don't have to use those rain dates to play games, that might allow them to get some extra rest. And which would help it be a better postseason. So.
And, of course, that's the great thing about baseball and softball, but baseball more specifically. It's such a fine line between rest and rust.
Yeah.
You know, if you wind up not having – you don't necessarily want a week and a half, 2 weeks with no ball games going into regional week. It's just – it's amazing. It's such a funny game to where you go from being rested to rusty in just one day.
The foul pole syndrome.
That's right.
It is amazing how – just little things that you would, you know, you assume, well, rest, that's going to be good. Well, not necessarily.
Not too much rest.
You know, and we hear it spoken of during the Major League broadcast about pitchers that throw breaking pitches may not have a good breaking pitch until about the third or fourth inning, until they're a little more tired.
So you want to talk foul pole syndrome. Of course, Major League Baseball, in their infinite wisdom, sent Oakland and Seattle over to Japan to play two regular season games, 2 weeks ago?
A week and a half ago.
So they played those two regular season games. They then come back stateside, go back to a week of spring training baseball, and then, for whatever reason, Oakland and Seattle played last night.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Why in the world would they play two games in Japan and then open up with each other stateside a week and a half later? This makes no sense. So if you're Oakland, you get to face Felix Hernandez three times in the first 9 games. Mm-hmm. What's that about? They can't play anyone else? No one else to play?
And as I understand it, they're going to do that again next year.
Ugh. Well, I mean, I don't mind. I like the concept of going, you know, international, going over there. But I don't like the idea of playing two games and then going back to spring training. I don't get that.
Well, that's a scenario where the owners need to step up and say, hey, we're not doing this.
Well, they're not going to do that. Money's involved. I mean, they're making money off of it. But I just don't understand the timing of it. Why not do it a week later? And I guess they're concerned about travel and jet lag. But if you do it a week later, they play the two games. Say they played Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they're off. Or say they played them Saturday and Sunday, even
there
better.
There you go.
Then you fly back. You're off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
You open up stateside on Friday.
Makes a little more sense that way than it did.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of going from regular season to spring training, then back to regular season. I don't understand it.
Well, you look at the Cardinals.
But you just said that almighty magic word, Tim, M-O-N-E-Y.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but you look at the Cardinals' schedule.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Why did they open up the season on a one-game series against Miami?
Well, that was all because of the new ballpark in Miami.
Well, yeah. I understand. Well,
Cardinals are the best draw in the National League.
Why not just make it a three-game series then?
Well, valid question. Who knows why? That foul pole syndrome.
You know.
Again. But they wanted to showcase the Marlins' new ballpark on opening night.
Which is nice.
I mean, I liked it. From a visiting fan perspective, I liked it. I thought it was neat. But if the team I rooted for played in that stadium, I think I would go colorblind after about game 35.
Yes,
a lot of green.
That's a lot of lime green. I've never seen so much lime green in one place. But it's Miami. You know, that stadium, it wouldn't work in St. Louis, wouldn't work in Chicago, it wouldn't work in New York or Boston, wouldn't work in a lot of cities. But in Miami, I think it fits.
And I'm just wondering, how long will it be before Miami does what New York did this year at Citi Field and bring the fences in?
A bit big ballpark. Oh, man.
Huge ballpark.
That Stanton guy, he crushed two balls that are home runs anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even make it to the wall.
Yeah.
They call that the Bermuda Triangle out there.
That'll be the next thing.
You know what, Ralph? You've been around a while. You've seen a lot of ball games. Have you ever seen Brazilian dancers escort baseball players onto the field for opening day? That was something. Now, that's entertainment.
Now that was different.
Scantily clad Brazilian dancer.
Is there any other kind, Terry?
Well, you know, I guess not.
I said immediately, now there's a uniform I could live with.
Yeah, can you buy that? Thereof. Is that online? Is that at MLB.com?
Well, I don't know. Would that be a kind of an Eddie Goodell situation where they showed up in a dancing outfit like that and the commissioner would suspend them?
Probably.
Yeah. So. Leave it to Bud.
If Fred Bird comes out like that, I'm done.
Hey, it's all about the M-O-N-E-Y, and if that's what it takes to get the people in the ballpark.
Well, and again, it's Miami, and it's just the culture is
different.
Perfect for that. And, you know, Miami did a great job of putting on a good show.
Well, they did.
Except for the introduction to the starting lineups, I thought they kind of dropped the ball there and weren't organized. You know, when they bring out Muhammad Ali, I thought the crowd just absolutely gasped. All I'm going to say is it's tough to beat the Clydesdales on opening day in St. Louis.
Well, that's very true. I wonder if the crowd even knew that Ali was going to be there because they did kind of seem shocked for a moment that Muhammad
just
Ali
to see
was there.
His sight and how frail he was.
Yeah, I think that's why.
That's what they gasped at, I think.
And a lot of people, if they haven't had the opportunity – to do with TV, probably don't visualize or realize how frail this giant of a man is today to what he once was. And everybody thinks about him 25 years ago, not what he is today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
but you think of Miami.
Yes, somebody did hit him once in a while.
Yeah.
You think of Miami, though. You think, you know, wasn't Don Shula available? Marino they see all the time. There could have been other people that they could have brought out instead of Ali.
Well, sure. I mean,
well, Jeffrey Lurie is good friends with him.
Right, and I think they were going for the national appeal. No one outside of Miami cares about Don Shula or Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Choking dogs is what those guys are outside of Miami. Choking dogs. Everyone in America likes Muhammad. Oh, I shouldn't say everyone in America likes Muhammad Ali. Most people in America like Muhammad Ali. Everybody in America knows who he is.
Yes.
So, I mean, they were going for that cachet, the big splash. What I think they were trying to recreate was Ted Williams at the All-Star game in Boston. What was it, 98 or 99? You know, they had the players out there around him. It didn't really jive, I think, like they thought it was going to.
Well, Ted Williams was a baseball player.
Right.
Yeah. Muhammad Ali was a boxer. And most of the people, I guarantee, in the stands never saw Muhammad Ali fight.
No.
True. True. I enjoyed seeing him. Though. I thought it was
Ralph, you and I
moment.
Remember Muhammad Ali and Cassius Clay before he changed. We remember that. But you know, most of those people, I would say 75 to 80% of the people in the stands that night had never seen Muhammad Ali box.
Yeah. But when you look at that syndrome, guys, and people say, oh, my God, I didn't realize Muhammad Ali was in that bad physical condition. Guys, we can go right down here to St. Louis today, and if you're not a Cardinal fan or not privy to Cardinal baseball, when they bring Stan Musial out, a lot of people don't realize how But here's a man 90 years
old. He's 90.
But people don't realize, they visualize him of when he was playing, right, not what he is today, you know.
Guys, think about the ovation.
Stan's getting pretty feeble, too.
Think about the ovation Stan the man's going to get when the Cardinals have their home opener on Friday the 13th. I mean, it's always big.
Yes.
But with Albert gone now and Stan firmly supplanted as the greatest Cardinal of all time and will never be passed now.
Never.
Oh, my goodness. The stadium is going to shake. I bet it's an ovation similar to what they had Game 6 of the World Series when Freeze hit that walk.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's going to be a thunderous ovation. That's going to be a goosebump, chill up your spine moment when Stan shows up on opening day.
And as far as I'm concerned, guys, being an older guy, but as far as I'm concerned, that's exactly the way it should be. Stan Musial should be considered the greatest player the Cardinals ever had.
Ralph, he's one of the greatest players ever in baseball,
right,
not just the Cardinals ever had. You start looking at, he played in the Midwest. He didn't play on the coast, and that's why Stan never got the recognition he deserved. But you look at Stan's numbers, he's up there in the top five in most categories.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's not only the greatest Cardinal, he's one of the greatest baseball players that most firmly belongs with Babe Ruth.
He's the most forgotten
Ty Cobb and those
greatest
people.
Baseball player that there's ever been.
Oh,
you know, when you hear about the greatest players, rarely does Stan get in the conversation. Yeah. He should be.
Yeah.
If you, and that's why I keep saying over and over, guys, and I know people get tired of it, but that's why I keep saying, if you sit down with a baseball book and look at their records, take Stan Musial, Joe DiMaggio, and Ted Williams, and look what those three guys did in their career, and then say, hey, wait a minute, this one guy here missed 5 years because he was in the military, Ted Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were all in the military.
Yeah.
But Ted Williams went back in the Korean War for 2 more years.
Right.
Just think what this guy would have did. You put 5 more years on his stats.
And scary. Not only 5 years, Ralph, but 5 prime years.
Yes.
Not at the end of his career, but
no.
Prime years. When he would have been at this
peak.
But
those three gentlemen, to me, says it all. Musial, DiMaggio, and Williams. I don't know how you could argue with any three greater players.
And that's why it was the golden age of baseball, because not only were they great athletes, but they were just as good Americans.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, you're not going to get professional athletes these days that serve the country. We were just talking about Muhammad Ali. I mean, the guy gave up the prime of his career making a political point that he wasn't going to go fight in Vietnam. And here you got these baseball players willfully signing up to go. Not that Ali's a bad guy for doing what he did. I mean,
he did the right thing because the war was wrong.
He was strong to his convictions and did what he felt he needed to do.
Yeah. You know, but a lot of people confuse a protest over the service of the people that served in that war. We're not arguing that. It's the fact that he protested, and that's part of being an American.
Right.
Yeah.
That's part of being an American. That's why our military men and women serve us around the globe, so that we have the right to do that.
Yep. But that's what separates those guys back
absolutely.
In the 40s, though. They were great baseball players, but they were better men because they gave up their life of luxury, so to speak, to go serve their country.
But Ted Williams, he was on the line. I mean,
he
didn't play baseball for, just sit back and play baseball. He actually was on mission. There
was
a lot of them.
Him and Jerry Coleman of the Yankees were fighter pilots.
Yeah.
But not only those three gentlemen, just and then I'll shut up. Just think of the pitchers these guys.
No, Ralph, we got 15 more minutes.
Just think of the pitchers, Williams and DiMaggio and Musial faced.
We always hear Shannon talk about it on the Cardinal broadcast back in the day when they went out to the West Coast. Uh-oh, we got Drysdale, we got Koufax. Uh-oh, we got Marichal. Yeah. Uh-oh. You know, I mean, you're running
and
into
on and on.
You can face 3 or 4 Hall of Famers in a row.
And you know what, Ralph? And the difference today in setting up pitching matchup versus then was you had your number one going against their number one.
Yeah.
It wasn't maybe a number four against a number one. It was one versus one most of the time.
Gibson and Drysdale, and Gibson said Drysdale and I used to laugh. We'd make it a point to meet each other crossing the line, going back to the mound or in, and we'd always say, "You batting this inning?"
I think anything closer to that this day
and age. Get your pants dusted.
I think that pitching matchup resembled today. I think the Phillies have probably got the closest thing to that with Lee,
game in the world.
Halliday, and Hamels.
And Lee, Phillies. I tell you what, though, the Phillies to me, and I said this last year, they remind me of the 2004 to 2006 Cardinals. They got old
quick
in a hurry.
Quick.
Happens all the time in sports. Yeah. For whatever reason, it's usually a 3-year window of dominance to get it done. The Cardinals had it from 04 to 06. The Phillies had it the last 3 years, and you see it now. Howard's hurt. Utley's hurt. Halliday's older. Lee's older.
Ibanez is gone.
Ibanez is gone. You know, Polanco's no spring chicken. Yeah. Rollins is getting older. They are an old baseball team.
And you look down the road in your crystal ball, gentlemen. The Cardinals are not too far from this.
No, they're not. Couple years. You're right, Ralph. You're exactly right.
The difference,
but the Cardinals, the Cardinals have an infusion of youth, though.
The difference with the Cardinal is they're older guys. Beltran, 2-year deal. Furcal, 2-year deal. Berkman working on a 1-year deal, and they've got young studs in the system ready to come up and fill those positions. So these veterans, they're important cogs to this year's team, but they're just filling the spot until these young studs that are at the AAA and AA level are ready to go.
And a team, when you call young studs, not to the quality of the Cardinals, but in that division, a team that might be looking a little bit to the future of the Pirates. Pirates got a lot of good young ballplayers if they don't have to sell them.
They've been looking to the future since 1992.
Yeah, but if they don't have, they've got some decent young ballplayers now if they don't have to sell them. But
right.
To that division, it's still
well,
to be as a Cardinals.
They signed McCutcheon to a multi-year deal.
Mm-hmm. Finally, they kept their best player. I mean, how many years did they trade away their best player on their major league roster and usually get Bupkis in return, get a whole lot of nothing?
That was and that was the problem. They made the deals but got nothing in return. Yeah. So,
you know, back years ago, the Pirates were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
When they had Stargell.
Oh, and Dave Parker. And, and you
they
know,
were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about guys knocking the ball out of the park, they knocked it out of the city.
Yes, they did. You were, and they had a great bullpen, too.
Oh, yeah.
Kent Tegulve was in the bullpen, and they had good starters. Yeah, Pittsburgh had its heyday. They were steel tough, very, very much so in the 70s especially.
Wait a minute, steel tough in the Steel City?
There you go.
There you go.
Baseball is alive and well. Cardinals coming up today from Milwaukee 210 with the pregame on AM 1540. Adam Wainwright makes his return to the bump. We will talk about that following these messages.
This is going to be big. 7 big days of savings. America's Farm and Home Store, Rural King, is going to help you save 12% on everything in the store. After you submit your Rural King online rebate, you'll receive a merchandise rebate card in the mail with 12% off your total purchase. Shop every day this week and save 12% off your total purchase. No quantity limits. Some exclusions apply. See store or Rural King flyer for details. While you're there, green up your lawn with Scott's products like Scott's Turf Builder and Scott's Grass Seeds. Sale ends Saturday, April 7th.
Listen for high school baseball and softball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Brought to you by Mark Steeran, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. C&B Bank and Trust with 12 locations to serve you. Consolidated Communications for great TV, internet, and phone packages. Visit consolidated.com. Bank and Trust Company in Litchfield, Carlinville, Farmersville, Raymond, Chatham, and Rochester. And by the Cubbyhole, a mile west of Carlinville High School.
And let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Becoming cloudy for today, expect a high in the upper 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, expect low of around 45 degrees. Heading into Easter Sunday, sunny skies, expect a high Sunday in the upper 60s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday, clear skies, expect highs in the upper 50s. Lows will be in the upper 30s. Right now at 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 57 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve. You in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal intention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:48, let's continue on. Sports Saturday continues with Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much. Cardinals coming up today at 2:10 on AM 1540, and Adam Wainwright is officially back today.
Will it be the Adam Wainwright Cardinal fans hope to see, or will he be the Adam Wainwright that's still undergoing recovery?
Hard
I don't know.
Say. I mean, he was sharp in spring training, but we all know spring training doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Again, it goes by the previous point. How big of a leash are they going to give him? You going to put
interesting
give him a
to see what
pitch count?
He'll be on a pitch count of some kind.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Every pitcher's on a pitch count at this point in the year. It's interesting. They've perfected the Tommy John surgery. I mean, they've got it down really to a science. You can pretty much plan on coming back a little bit stronger than you were before. I know the Nationals have put Strasburg on an inning limit of around like 160. 170, you start doing the math, that's not very much.
That's,
you know, you make 25 starts, go 6-7 innings.
That's August.
That's it. So I don't think the Cardinals are going to put any sort of inning limitations on him. I think they're going to take a wait-and-see approach and see how he responds. But if he comes back 75% of what he was, he's still one of the best pitchers in the league.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, you mentioned Strasburg.
It may take him some time to get some arm strength and some of the little intangibles back. But, you know, as you said, Tim, they've got this surgery down now to where it's just amazing what these guys can come back and do.
And the nice thing about the way it worked out for Wainwright last year, he got hurt so early in spring training. He's passed the 12-month recovery point already. You know, usually these guys get hurt at the end of spring or early in the season, but he should be pretty close to 100% right now. Now, that doesn't mean that he's in, you know, starting pitching shape, taking the ball every fifth day type of shape. But I'll take 70-75% of Adam Wainwright every fifth day for 6 months. I'll take that.
And he has to be one of the big, I don't like to call it question mark, but him and Carpenter, those two guys, they got to have them. You know, the other guys are going to win their balls some. Their share of the ball games, but those two guys, you got to have them in there every fourth or fifth
day. I expect Carpenter to be out the entire year. I really do. That's the history.
May, into May now.
Is that what they're saying? So it's already been pushed back several weeks. That's the history of Carpenter.
Yeah.
When he gets hurt, nerve injuries like he's had, they always start at the same. No big deal. We're going to shut him down for a week, and then, we're going to put him on the DL. He'll be back. Don't count on him. He'll be out the entire year. But you think about it. They overcame Wainwright last year. To me, losing Wainwright last year is a bigger blow than losing Carpenter this year. Because Carpenter, as great as he is, big game pitcher, one of the greatest pitchers in Cardinal history, he's 37 years old.
Yeah.
His prime is several years behind him. Adam Wainwright is in his prime right now.
Yeah.
He is the best pitcher in the league when healthy. So to have him back, to me, that is much bigger than having Carpenter last year.
And the Cardinals have options now. They've got some
young
options
arms.
in the farm system. They've got some the ability to wheel and deal if they need to. So as far as this year versus last year, I tend to agree with you, Tim. It probably was a much bigger loss last year for Wainwright than this year with Carpenter. We're not shocked with Carpenter.
No, I mean, the fact that he's never healthy 2-3 years in a row, it just doesn't happen. And that's the way baseball goes. But, man, he has been such a great Cardinal his entire career. I mean, what a gamer Chris Carpenter is. My definition of the word.
And for a Bob Gibson fan like me, he's Gibby-like.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is.
He keeps you in the ball game. He doesn't get blowed out. You know, they'll score some runs off of him, but you're still in the ball game, and that's what you want your pitcher to do, is keep you in the ball game. And
he will forever be in Cardinal lore for his postseason performance last year. I mean, he's an all-timer now. You know, you talk about the pantheon of Cardinal pitching, it's Bob Gibson, And then I think it has to be Chris Carpenter.
Yeah.
Right? Am I wrong?
No.
I mean, you guys have seen more Cardinal baseball than I have. Well, he has to be the greatest pitcher since Bob Gibson for the Cardinals.
And you know, Bob Forsh, who passed away last year, he's third on the all-time list of wins for the Cardinals. Yeah. And that's a guy that most people will never even think about.
Right. But when you're talking about the – and it's just the way I construct my list for players. What did you do in the big spot when the chips were down?
Yeah.
You know, Gibby did it on the biggest stage. Carp's done it on the biggest stage. Bob Forrest, God rest his soul. But he was on some bad teams.
Yeah.
Great pitcher, but was on some bad, bad teams. The only Cardinal to ever throw two no-hitters. Great pitcher.
Yeah.
But if you want to be the best, one of the best of the best in the Cardinals organization, you got to do it when the chips are down, when the World Series and the pennant is on the line. And Gibby and Carp have done it better than any pitchers in franchise history, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I can't argue with you.
You go back to last year, actually, the Cardinals had two seasons. The first half, they were lousy, and then in August, they started putting it together and really played well. But they actually kind of had two seasons.
They really did. And maybe the biggest thing for them this year is the bullpen is settled start of the year. I mean, the bullpen was just awful, just atrocious last year. Laughable bad, really. But this year,
gut-wrenching bad.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Roles are defined. Yeah. Mott comes in the first game of the year throwing 99-mile-an-hour gas. I mean, the Cardinals, I mean, two games does the season not make. Yeah. Everyone knows this. But you look at the club. If they're healthy, remotely healthy, they're going to win a lot of games.
That's what Lance Berkman has said all spring long. If we stay healthy, we're in contention. If we're not healthy, we're probably
And you saw it yesterday. Beltran and Freeze. If those two guys play 140, 150 games, Cardinals will win the division going away.
Well, you need – and they need for Call and whoever they settle on for the second baseman. They need some good solid play from them guys around the middle of the infield.
How about Daniel Descalzo? Is he not a Cardinal guy?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy epitomizes what Cardinal baseball is about. Just a hard-nosed, gritty ball player who's smart, who's clutch, can play multiple positions. Like yesterday, he draws
Does he not remind you a little bit of David Eckstein?
He does. He drew that interference call yesterday. Yeah. He wasn't hit that hard, but he knew the situation. Yeah. He sold it. Runner has to go back to third, get out of the inning
Runner's
with no damage
out,
done.
And
that's
no,
just
no
smart baseball.
Scored. Yeah, absolutely. That was a good play on his behalf. He knew the situation. Yeah.
And they went into spring training. It was Tyler Green's job to lose. I don't know if Green lost it as much as Descalzo won it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing we're talking about, the differences from Matheny and La Russa. Breaking news. The Cardinals had the same lineup two games in a row. Stop the presses.
I've never been a Tyler Green fan.
You know, he's one of the – I've said it for years. I think he's a 4A player. Some guys are just like that. He dominates AAA but can't cut in the big leagues. He's caught somewhere in between.
Yeah, I've just never been never been a guy I think is going to play every day for me.
He's going to be their second baseman when there's a lefty on the mound this year, it would appear.
Yes,
maybe that's the best way for him to get in and settled into the big leagues, is to not have to be the everyday guy.
But why would you want to take Descalzo out?
You can't. I mean, you got to go with the same lineup today, right?
Well,
with Greinke or Wrighty on the mound?
I would think so.
Don't switch it now.
You never change a winning lineup. It's the old axiom.
Well, La Russa does.
Well.
But.
Play with a horse that can win the race.
That's exactly right. So we'll see what happens. Cards today, Brewers, Wainwright, Greinke, dynamite pitching matchup. We'll have the pregame coverage for you 2:10 this afternoon on AM 1540. Guys, we're almost out of time. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Pujols made his Angels debut last night. Angels won, I think, 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
Albert went 0-3 with a strikeout and an intentional walk, and I just thought it was kind of funny that he lined into a double play his first at-bat as an Angel. Of course, remember last year opening day, went 0-4 with three double plays hit into. He looks in better shape. He looks a lot trimmer.
Yes, he does.
Than
yes,
he
does.
Has the last three or 4 years in St. Louis.
He may be. You never know.
He's going to have a monster year, folks.
Oh.
He's going to have a monster year. Monster year.
You know, the Angel fans are going to get a taste of what the Cardinal fans have enjoyed for
over
a decade.
That's right.
They are going to just love this guy to no end, because he will deliver on the big stage.
I would be shocked if he didn't have a typical Albert year.
Like 335 batting average, 120 runs driven in, 50 home runs.
The only thing that might keep him from doing that is he's got no protection behind him.
And that's a lot to talk about.
Torrey Hunter and Vernon Wells
are not
protection when you're talking about the greatest player in the game. You put four fingers up without hesitation if those guys are batting behind him.
Yeah, and he's it'll take a time or two around for Albert to fully learn the pitchers and for the pitchers to learn him.
True, and usually players have trouble when they switch leagues, but Albert raked in interleague.
He was the best hitter in the interleague, wasn't he? Or amongst the best.
The only thing that would concern me about his numbers would be the parks he's playing in. You take Texas out of the equation, which is a launching pad. Hard to hit home run in L.A. at night, or Anaheim, or Orange County, wherever that stadium is. Yeah. Regardless, hard to hit a home run there at night. Oakland,
Orange County's in Florida, isn't it? Or is it in California?
No, it's in California.
That's right.
The park in Oakland, huge. The park in Seattle, huge. I mean, he's got some big parks with some of that tough, you know, West Coast night air. So the power numbers might wind up being a little bit down, but not because he's not hitting the ball the same, just because the stadium parameters have changed. You think about it, Houston, easy park to hit home runs in. Wrigley, obviously. Cincinnati, launching pad. Pittsburgh owned it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah. I expect a monster year. Monster year for Albert.
I would be shocked if he didn't have great numbers.
Yeah. But it's kind of funny. The Cardinals had won two games before the Angels even started the year. How about that? 162-0, baby!
We'll see.
Yeah. Put it this way. I'm not going to Vegas to make that bet.
Right.
Although the odds would be very good.
Will they win 90 if they stay healthy?
Yes.
Will they win 95? Yeah, if they stay healthy,
that's
it's possible.
Right. So cards come up today, 210. On AM 1540, we are out of time. Our high school baseball broadcast season will begin on Monday. We'll have a doubleheader for you on AM 1540. The entire broadcast schedule on the web at WUSMIRadio.com. For Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. Sports Saturday is done. This is your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois. WUSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carletonville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.